This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
Do not read for force. For host.
Celtic leave it late to keep themselves in the title race. As Brendan Rodgers starting to figure out his best starting 11, and Joe Hart retires, all that in this week's 20 Minute Tims. Stephen, Melly, Celtic left it late this week, but the title race ticks on. It is not over, Martin Melly, not by a long shot.
No, better late than never, but this kind of felt different, I felt. I think Celtic in the first half were really poor, so we're expecting the same from that, and I expected when Celtic went 1-0 down, are we going to get two goals to get back in this? But second half was much better, and it felt like there is Celtic in there. So again, in late February, let's kick on from here, lads.
If it's in there, we'll find it.
Stephen, I've been saying all season that, you know, teams don't just click into gear, and if Celtic are going to win this league, well, I've not said it all season, but I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks, if Celtic are going to win this league, we're going to have to scrap, we're going to have to fight, and we're going to have to just claw our way over the line, keep it within touching distance of Rangers for as long as we can, and see if we can't pounce on any mistakes that they make or pounce on them in the games that we've got coming up against them. But there was something about that second half that gave me a lot of encouragement.
Yeah, big time. I think it's like, the way you end the game can be very important when it comes to the confidence, because I'll be completely honest here. Watching that first half, I was actually quite shocked at what I was witnessing at times. Watching the first half, I was genuinely taken aback at how poor it was, because the context of that is that Rangers have obviously gone out and won pretty heavily the day before, and our response is that first half. That's the response to what we are. When we went a goal down, I thought, We're doomed here. Genuinely, I think this team's got nothing left. It's got nothing about it whatsoever. So the second half was hugely encouraging, particularly the way they ended the game, particularly the way they all seemed to pull together to get the results. Yes. Because it wasn't just a fluke. Everyone just seemed galvanised towards it. It is still a concern that Celtic, you never really know which Celtic you're going to get. And quite a lot of the times it's the one you don't want that turns up. But they're still capable. And that was evident in the last half an hour or so of that game. Maybe the entire second half, I thought once Adam Eda scored the first goal, I thought we were going to be all right, because the second half felt a lot better. But the first half really had me wavering, to be honest, I have to say.
The thing is, Melly, there's players that have been through the course and distance here, and we've pointed that out in previous podcasts. We've got a manager who's won everything there is to win. So you would expect that when players start to return, there should be an uplift in performance. That first half was very reminiscent of a lot of the football we've seen this season, though, and that did worry me a wee bit. But as Stephen says, when you get the response in the second half, you're like, right, okay, there's something here. I know there's people out there that will think that this team are not playing for the manager, that Celtic are cooked, Brendan Rodgers is done and all that, but that second half showed me that's just not the case. We're a team that's struggling just now, but by no means are we throwing in the towel.
No, I don't think we're throwing in the towel, and I think if we do drop points or lose games, it's because we're simply not good enough in times. But I think with that first half, it was worrying, because Motherwell clearly came in with a game plan, and their game plan was, like Kilmarnock the week before, leave Liam Scales on the ball, wait till he goes in a wee bit, and then make a move on him. So he either passes it or gives it away, and then just spring the ball in behind him, because it came up like 63% of Motherwell's attacks were down our left-hand side. So they clearly had a plan. It worked within the first couple of minutes, and they got in behind. See, to be fair, their goal, it's not really MD's fault. It's just a great goal.
Yeah, right.
A great piece of play from Lennon Miller and a stunning finish as well. But I worried after that. But the response in the second half from Celtic was great. Had to substitute some players. Some players coming back really helped us. And we sort of did galvanise us. It wasn't one of those ones where I thought, we've got off the hook here. It was a matter of time before we scored, I felt.
It feels like Brendan Rodgers is still... Maybe he's not. Maybe they've just not been available. But we're still trying to figure out what Celtic's best 11 is going into the last third of the season, which is absolutely wild. What did you make, Stephen, though, of the central defensive partnership of Navrotsky and Scales?
Okay. I didn't think it was great. And it's clear that Scales has now been targeted, as you say, Miller, as you allude to. I think that it's often a criticism of Greg Taylor that teams, you know, he's the weak link, so therefore teams targeting him. It's really just about his height. They just sort of shell balls on top of him. But I think it's quite obvious in recent games that we're seeing a lot of that ball being played down that channel. So in between Scales and Taylor, as soon as Scales is on the turn, it's kind of...
I hear him scheming.
Yeah, it's trouble, to be honest. So the partnership, I've still not really seen... I'm still choosing to have a little bit of faith in Navrotsky, but I've not really seen a huge amount from him. I think he comes in, he looks okay, and then tires. I don't know if it's a fitness thing where we haven't really seen more of him. I don't really know, but what was clear, quite aside from that defensive partnership, what was clear was that we're a completely different team with Cameron Carter-Vickers in it. Completely different team, and we'll come to that later on because that was the second half. But that, I'm not seeing enough from Navrotsky to make me think he's definitely going to be a going concern. But at this point of the season, I think I said that during our build-up to the game that we do on Patreon before away games, I'm not interested in settled lineups or stability or anything like that. If something's not work, change it. If it's not working, genuinely change it. I don't care if we're turning up with completely different teams every single week. We just need to get jobs done on the day and we need to get as many wins as possible. Not really bothered about stability because it's less than a dozen games we've got left of this season. So I want to see what Navrotsky's got from the start more frequently, but I don't know if he's doing enough to necessarily justify that.
I think with Scales, I've long said he can't play anymore, but we know what we're going to get from him. With Navrotsky, I think him coming in, we need to apply the Cameron Carter-Vickers tax, don't we? He's kind of the only guy that's not had a couple of games with Cameron Carter-Vickers alongside him. We've seen it last season, whether it be Starfelt, Jens, Welsh, Scales, Lagerbielke, whoever plays alongside Cameron Carter-Vickers always looks okay. But when he came on, Celtic just seemed to settle down and Motherwell's attacks didn't seem to happen as frequently. So for me, going forward, Johnston and Taylor coming in made a massive difference, as we've seen in the goals, and it meant Celtic were better on the ball. Carter-Vickers coming back made a difference, but also Navrotsky can pass the ball. So I think that back four going forward would give me less fear, but I just don't know if it'll happen. I think Brendan Rodgers is kind of... thinks Liam Scales has got it and he's left-footed. No, I just don't see it, to be honest. But that defence coming in looked a lot stronger and the Iwata in front of them as well made a difference.
Very reluctant to change his back four, isn't he? It tends to be enforced changes. So we changed the full-backs quite a lot, but it's because of injuries. Yeah. They've both had pretty bad injuries recently. Other than that, it tends to be the same players that play if they're available. So I don't think I see him changing Scales at this point of the season. I think it seems like too much of a risk from Brendan Rodgers. So
is there no something in that though? I know we've all had made our thoughts clear on Liam Scales, and Melly says you've got the Carter-Vickers tax. So when Carter-Vickers is in there, things immediately settle down a wee bit. Deploying a brand new centre half pairing at this point, is that a risk worth taking?
Scales and Carter-Vickers is kind of brand new as well. We don't have a settled partnership, do we? Because of the injuries and even at fullbacks, like Burnaby's started, the last three matches? Taylor comes back, he's not even on the bench. So that shows what Brendan Rodgers thinks about him. And I think the fullbacks coming back, we kind of need a settled back four there, but it's just not been possible. And I think with Celtic now, with the back four, with Carter-Vickers come back, hopefully stays injury free. And I like the look of the midfield as well. So it's just, like you say all the time, we sort one problem. So the fullbacks are back, brilliant. then something else becomes the problem.
One thing I've noticed about this Celtic team recently, and I noticed again against Motherwell, was see all the sort of experienced players, all the level heads, all the players that have been through the course and distance, they are starting to rise to the top ever so slightly. Greg Taylor comes back. I think Greg Taylor's been really, really good recently. Joe Hart's been really, really good recently. Cameron Carter-Vickers came on, changed the complexion of that defence. Callum McGregor got a lot of stick. I thought he was okay. Matt O'Reilly was okay. It's when the good performances are coming through, it's the same players that are sort of dragging the whole team up again. And it's the guys that have been through course and distance. And it's the guys, I think, that if we're going to win this league, are going to win the league for us.
Well, I don't think Callum McGregor has had his best season at Celtic. I don't think he's been amazing this season, but it's because of his own high standards. And I think it's coincided with Celtic not having a particularly good season. It's just a fact. They've not had a great season. It's not been a classic. Don't get me wrong, it'll be absolutely great if we win the league. It'll be very, very sweet indeed, considering what we've gone through in the YouTube comments.
Oh, my God.
On what we continue to go through.
Our subscriber numbers are through the roof.
Yeah, I remember my first time at the top of the league for 4 days as well. But I don't think Callum McGregor has had a great season, but he is in there trying to make things happen. And I know we sometimes get criticism as well for backing Callum McGregor too much, but it's because we have a great deal of trust in him, backed up by performance over a long period of time, and he's been a successful captain, and before that a very successful Celtic player. So we do have that level of trust, that level of political capital he has with us, to put it a pretentious way. But I do appreciate that he's not had his best season, he's not had his best couple of months really, but even at that, he set up that brilliant chance for Kyogo in that goal, in that game rather. Greg Taylor, I thought, went to pieces for a maybe 15-minute period during the Motherwell game where he started giving the ball away constantly. But it's him that pops up for the cross for the goal. He also put a cross on top of Kyogo. It was that moment where Kyogo went out for a header, spun around and then went down holding his shoulder and all that. So he was still trying to make things happen. So we are getting players who are turning up at the right time. Whether it's enough or not, I don't know. That remains to be seen over the coming weeks. But they are trying to drag this team back together.
Millie, stick with that midfield three.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought Iwata, I was watching the game, and when Iwata went off, I could understand it because he barely played, so the match fitness wouldn't be there. But I just felt, look, see if Celtic lose this game, it's because they've taken him out. You see in a lot of the highlights that when Celtic are getting attacked, he's in there and he's breaking things up, and he just kept it simple. He broke things up. He was always there, and he just passed it on to McGregor or Riley or the fullbacks and went for there. So I think him being in there gives us a lot more solidity, adding in Johnston and Taylor as well and Carter Vickers. Celtic just seems stronger. They don't seem weak in there. And I think Iwata got injured at a time when he was starting to look like he was going to command a place.
He kind of catch a break, Iwata.
No,
he genuinely can't, which is why I'm reluctant to say, right, this is his chance again, because there's every chance that he'll just go and get injured after three games again. It just seems to happen with him. But hopefully he can keep it together, because I think he's a very useful player to have around.
Especially when you're toiling and you need to change things up a wee bit. Yeah. Obviously, you want Hatate in there, you want gallivanting midfielders and everything going forward, forward, forward. But sometimes when things aren't going your way and you need to switch it up with some fresh tactics, having a player like Iwata who drops in, when Scales goes on, he can drop in, he's covering, he's coming back sometimes to be an extra defender. You're like, right, well, it's not the way we necessarily want seeing Celtic play, but it's maybe the way we need to play to get us through this patch.
Yeah, and even if it's not, he's sitting there instead of Callum McGregor, that's fine with me. McGregor's defensively, that's not his thing. Mm. Sometimes we need some stability in there which will allow McGregor and the rest of the team to play. We haven't had that, and when McGregor demands the ball a lot and he drops very deep, especially this season, to get it off their centre-backs because they've been chronic. So I think if Iwata can hold his position there, just be that guy that the water carrier, isn't it?
Yeah,
the Makaleli role, very different from how Callum McGregor plays it. But if he can allow a sort of foundation for Celtic to build on, then it's a lot better. He just gets the ball, moves it along. I'm happy with that, because when Celtic get broke on, like we've been talking about a lot this season, all it takes is one or two passes and teams are in on us. He sort of stopped that at the weekend.
It's kind of not game by game that we're going to have to navigate through this sort of challenge we've found ourselves in. It's kind of half by half, isn't it? It's
like,
we need to take half a game of football, right, get them in at half time, right, that's not great, right, swap him, do this, right, okay, right, go back out, try that, and then before you know it, you're looking a lot more like Celtic in the second half.
It is, because, and the thing is, you can never tell when that half is going to come. So sometimes against Kilmarnock, I thought we were very good in the first half, and the second half was an absolute travesty. And then it was the opposite. And this one, I thought the first half against Motherwell was worrying to the point of we are out of this title race, genuinely, and then completely turned around. So you genuinely do not know what Celtic are going to turn up and in which part of the game they're going to turn up. It's really bizarre. So sometimes you would maybe put it down to shaky, tentative starts. Brendan Rodgers used the word anxiety at the weekend there, and that led to a bit of a blowout.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah,
so he went full Andrew Tate. What colour's your Bugatti, Jane Lewis?
Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jane.
Wow,
you've ruined my interview so you could get the attention. I hope it makes you very happy.
All the decorum of a reversing dump truck, Jane. The internet took that well, didn't they? Jesus Christ, man.
But he used the word anxiety, and I think that's true. So you think, right, well, maybe that we're just making slow starts, but it wasn't the case against Kilmarnock. It was a slow start in the second half. It's just so unpredictable. It's a really bizarre team when you think about it. Just a really odd team to get a hold of. But
I've never seen anything like it. I was thinking, especially after Brendan snapped at that interview there, I was wondering to myself, I was like, has Brendan Rodgers ever really been under pressure like this as a manager before? Now, he's obviously been in high-pressure situations, but you come to Celtic, you win nothing the first season, you're wiped. I mean, that's it. It takes a lot to recover from that. I personally, if that happened, would give Brendan Rodgers a second season at Celtic, provided things changed
give him a second season, you shit, right?
Provided things changed elsewhere. But externally, if that was to happen, but you know, for Brendan Rodgers, when it went south at Leicester, there was loads going on. It was kind of the writing was on the wall a wee bit there. And I just wondered if I could see what he's trying to do. I could see that he's trying to build a sort of culture around Celtic. He's trying to build a wall around the team. It's them versus that lot out there have already said the league's over. And to be fair, he's bang on. A lot of people have crowned Rangers champions already. Lord knows the fans in our YouTube comments think they've won the league already. So I could kind of see what Brendan's doing there. But he must be in a high-pressure situation.
He's in a high-pressure situation because he has to win the league. There's no two ways about it. And look, he's brought in, he's paid a lot of money, and it was just sort of looked upon that he'll come in and continue the good work, but it's not worked out like that. And I think this is a very big if Celtic do win this league, he might be able to look back on it and go, well, look at the Kilmarnock game there where I've got Ralston, Welsh, Scales and Burnaby in the defence. What am I meant to do with that? And look, that's fine, but it's not just been that. There's been a lot of games this season where Celtic have had their better players and they haven't looked great. So I think the second half, again, it has to be the start of something. It has to be, look, that first half's not acceptable, the second half is. But he's already said this season that it was the angriest he's ever been at halftime, and that was months ago, and we haven't seen the sort of reaction. So I think he's got to just go, right, lads, this is where we are now. I will back you as far as I can with this. We're in this together. Let's go and do it for these 12, 11, 10 games and go out there and just get the win by hook or by crook.
I think that's where it is, Stephen, because I've got to be fair to Brendan Rodgers. Every time I hear him post-match, he's not doing the thing, the trap that other managers fall into, naming no names, that we've had during the course of this podcast, is you'd watch a team be absolutely crap and they would immediately come out, and the way they would defend their team would go, I thought we were exceptional today. I thought we were absolutely brilliant.
Yeah. And come out and you don't go, what are you talking about? Yeah. Apart from the bit at the end.
And you're watching that going, don't take the piss out of us.
Yeah.
Brendan Rodgers comes out and goes, we were anxious in the first half. The distance between the passes was too much. We had to tighten that up. I had to tweak a wee thing here and change a wee thing there. We came out for the second half. We looked a lot more like ourselves. And to be fair to Brendan, I'm watching it going, you're right. That's how I viewed the game as well.
It's quite often possibly unfairly framed as throwing the players under the bus, but I don't know if I necessarily see that, because I think Neil Warnock came out of the weekend there and started literally naming players that weren't playing well enough.
I'm here, honestly. Least,
Brendan's equal opportunities, he just says the whole squad isn't good enough and has no quality. So I get it. I think it is of value to come out and actually be honest with the fans after the game, because we do not need to be told, oh no, this was excellent. He started to drift into that with his talk about how this is, in any other country, this is actually really good form. Yeah. At that point, I was kind of like, oh, come on, pull the other one. We're really padding this with Bucky Thistle games
and all that. You saw where he was going with that up until the Kamarnock game.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. See, if we'd won the Kamarnock game, all that stuff may have stacked up a wee bit. But if he goes, listen, it's not as bad as you think. Look, honestly, blah, 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 blah. The Kamarnock game's a damp squid.
Yeah, it's a damp squid. Yes. So, yeah, I do appreciate that he's coming out and trying to be honest with us. I wouldn't personally, it would probably be unusual for a manager to come out and use the word anxious or anxiety about a team's performance. And then he didn't really like it when he was challenged and asked to elaborate on that. He just sort of left it out there. But I'd rather have that than just be told that everything's fine and, you know, we've won trebles 6 or 7 years ago and all that kind of stuff. He's not doing that, thankfully.
What about his wing problem, Melly? He's got a wing problem.
Sure does. It is a wing problem. We've sorted the fullbacks now that hopefully Johnston and Taylor are back, and they were the creators at the weekend, but the wide players were really poor.
It's that Celtic whack-a-mole, that's what it is.
You fix one thing and the defence, that should be that sorted now. Now you've got the wide players, and it's been a problem all season because we've a lot of our goals for Celtic, when you think of the big moments for Celtic, it's usually been O'Reilly to Kyogo, and it's been through the middle where we've got it. The wide players are not creating and they're not looking like creating, and just, I don't know what's wrong with Kuhn. Is this just the player he is? Has he just totally lost his confidence in some way? I don't know if we've signed another dud or he just needs time to settle, but time to settle and looking like you've never been in a football pitch are two different things.
Also, we've not got that. We've not got time for him to settle.
I don't want to be too harsh on the guy, right? But we need somebody here and now.
Yeah.
And that's the whole point of signing somebody in January that's played games. We need somebody that can come and hit the ground running. And to be perfectly honest, and this isn't necessarily about Kuhn himself, but if that's what the manager needs and needs somebody that could come in and contribute right away if we're going to win the league, and you bring in Kuhn and he doesn't do it, you think, well, is it another recruitment failure?
Yeah.
I don't want to go back down that road again, but see, I'm already thinking, right, we're probably not going to understand how good or what type of player is until October, once Kuhn's been through a pre-season, because that's, he looks, being as charitable as I possibly can, he looks like a guy that needs a pre-season.
Yeah, he does, but he should have had that. He was
and playing 800 protein shakes between now and then.
Yeah, he should have had that by now. He's been playing football, and it's not as if I can...
And that's me being as charitable as I possibly can be right
now. I know, mate, I'm really trying with him as well. I can't give him the same that I'd give Yang or Talio, who are coming for the other side of the world and are younger, much younger than him. He's 24 years old. He's been playing first-team football. He should be coming in and looking to stamp his mark on this team. There's a position there for you, go out and grab it, and he just looks like he's got nothing about him. On the other side, Maeda just doing what he does, but
an agent of chaos.
It's not the good chaos anymore, but there was moments in that first half where Motherwell would have the ball and they would have no idea and Dyson would take it away, but the finishing from him, the one at the back post, then the two in the second half, the back post header and the cross, the sort of cutback. See if he scores them. Celtic win that game fairly comfortably for me. I think he's getting into good positions, but his technique lets him down. But then again, they two were probably ones that deserved to start this game because in previous games, Palma and Yang haven't. But Palma came on, got the goal, and Yang came on and made a big difference. But then, do we just swap them until they're not playing well and then take them out? It's going by game by game again.
And this is the problem Brendan's got.
Or half by half.
Half by half. This is the problem Brendan's got, isn't it? But you're looking at Yang and you think, right, he started off, he excited me when he first came in.
Yeah.
And then he started to, particularly in some of the European games, we slaughtered the guy because you could see the play breaking down when it got to Yang. There's no two ways of getting it.
There was one away game, it got hooked at half time and it was just a deplorable performance. Well, I can't remember where it was, at St Johnstone or something. It was terrible, I can't remember.
Particularly in the European games though, you work so hard to break through this press and then the ball goes up to Yang and it just completely just makes absolute hollocks of it.
Remember we went to Lazio away needing to win with Yang and Forrest out wide?
it's I sort of lost faith in him a wee bit. And then Brendan Rodgers said, you know, I like Yang, he just needs to learn when to release the ball. And you think to yourself, well, again, Brendan, being honest, I can see that's an accurate assessment of where Yang is. He comes off at half-time there and I'm like, I saw him release the ball when he should have released the ball, especially if they set up for the goals. There was a few times he played AJ. They seem to have a good little understanding. And I thought, this is what progress looks like. As a player, it's no, he's crap and then immediately good. He's crap 70% of the time. Then he's crap only 60% of the time, then 50% of the time. And he's still making mistakes, but that half, there was less mistakes. And I thought, that's the Yang that can cause problems.
Yeah, well, I think Yang's clearly got something about him. He seems like a very talented player. And in a season where we've complained constantly about not taking players on, he is at least capable of doing that. But the trouble is, we've been here before with several players this season. Yeah. And yeah. I think Yang's definitely got something. I think Brendan Rodgers seems to like him, but we might be edging into Haksabanovic era, like sort of area with Yang. Not in terms of nothing I like his players, but what I mean is that he kept showing glimpses coming off the bench and really impressing, to the point where we're crying out for Haksabanovic to start, and every time he did, he disappointed. So is Yang going to be a wee bit like that for now, just until he's still finding his feet a wee bit? Is he gradually going to get better? Maybe, maybe not. But I've got some sort of, maybe it's just misty-eyed pish for me, but I do like the idea of Yang. I think he has the potential to become an exciting player, but he's going to need coached AF, to be honest, and to get there.
He needs to work hard. At the end of the day, it's down to the player as well. He needs to work hard, and by all accounts, what Brendan says, he is a player who really works hard and he works on his game. So it's not an ideal situation, but when I'm looking at Kuhn and I'm looking at Yang, there's just no getting away from it. Yang is just much more effective.
Yeah, but we've seen how ineffective he can be. Yeah. Like within a week, we've seen how he takes on a man against Kilmarnock, tries to take on the extra man, loses the ball, and Kilmarnock score from it ultimately.
Yeah.
Then compared to this week, and I said it to you on the match reaction, Yang looked better the less he was on the ball. Couple of touches, pop it off to AJ, move inside, pop it off. That's when he's better, when he's holding on to the ball. The ball across for the Palma goal as well, absolutely brilliant. There's no need to take too many extra touches and then have somebody come across. What you do is get the ball early and pass it across, and that's what he done. So I think hopefully he is taking on what Brendan Rodgers is saying. Ultimately, is it because, are we going to get a situation with Yang where he's playing in the right one half and the left in the other because Brendan Rodgers can just coach him through the whole game? Mm. Ultimately, this is Celtic. We can't be doing this in February in a title race, looking at players and going, oh, do you know what? He's getting coached now. We need players to come in and do the job.
This is not going to happen. That's where we find ourselves.
That was what Kuhn was meant to be. And again, it's going back to these things at Celtic. Looking at it, you're looking at, we've got four wingers that played at that game at the weekend. We've had Abada, who's not featuring in Forest. But the only one that can take on a man is Yang. And even then, he has his flaws. But look, Yang, I think on Wednesday night against Dundee, he's got to start because he was direct. Yeah. He was going at players and he did exactly what you ask of him. But when he does start, he has to do that from the start.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
2024 is here in full swing, and that means it's time for New Year's resolution check-in with our friends at Manscaped. Newsflash, it is never too late to up your grooming game and keep your bush tamed. Manscaped's new Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is every man's cheat code to look good, feel good, and turn the page on confidence this year. Whether you're going for a trim or that clean-shaven look, this trimmer has you covered. Trusted by over 10 million men worldwide, it is now your time to get a grip on your grooming with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use the code TIMS, T-I-M-S, for 20% off and free shipping. The ball is dropped, but don't drop the ball on your balls.
Introducing the MVP of 2024, Manscaped's 5th generation lawnmower. It's not just a trimmer, it's your grooming sidekick. It's just a ball sack trimmer to keep your scrotum safely shorn. Equipped with two skin-safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth, whatever your heart desires. And for my men who want the full grooming experience, look no further than Manscaped's Performance Package 5.0. In this grooming kit, you get the trusted lawnmower, Manscaped's ear and nose hair trimmer, and essential aftercare products with the Crop Soother Ball Aftershave Lotion and Crop Preserver Anti-Chafing Ball Deodorant. Yep, it's deodorant for your balls. Bet you didn't know you needed that.
Get 20% off and free shipping when you insert the code TIMS at manscaped.com. Embrace a new you and definitely embrace a new trimmer, courtesy of Manscaped.
On Kuhn, I think it would be excessive of us to write him off entirely altogether, but all we can really go on is what we're seeing on the pitch just now. You can take into account all the stats and scouting and all that that gets done on these players when they arrive. The profiles are formed on him, but that's all gone now. He's a Celtic player and he's playing and right in front of us, and we need to make not a final judgment on it, but we're here to talk about the games.
Scored his debut?
Yeah, he did via a massive deflection, yeah. But that was still, he was in the right position. Ida set him up well and he stuck it away.
He just lacks testicular fortitude for me.
This is my point. This is what I'm coming on to. He's starting to give me the vibes of a Lagerbielke signing in that, yes, he might come up well in certain types of analysis, certain types of scouting. But to me, all we've done so far is turn 9 wingers into 10. That's all. We've just added this guy into the grey amorphous blob. Yeah, that are the million wingers that are at this club. He doesn't stand out from anyone else just yet. And there was a moment against Motherwell. I thought he was terrible in the Kilmarnock game when he came on. I thought he was dreadful in that game, but he was terrible against Hibs as well. But when he came on... When he played against Motherwell, there was a moment where he was through and the Motherwell defender just eased into him, just shouldered him. Not like a full-on barge around. That wasn't a foul. But all he did was ease him off the ball when I think the Motherwell player had to slide it out for a corner. And I thought to myself, right, well, what people often say in these situations is, oh, he's got to be stronger there. But you can't just choose to just be stronger there. He is what he is. He is the size he is the weight he is. You can't just choose to be stronger than a Motherwell player. So how I liken it to Lagerbielke is, what did I say all along? Like, how did they manage to sign a player who doesn't fit the physical profile, who's not fast enough to play at Celtic? Brendan Rodgers has taken one look at him, written him off, and tried to get rid of him in the next window. So it's not that he's a bad player. It's just that they've seem to have overlooked the fact that he's far too slow. He is lightweight. So why did that go ahead? Because all we've done, it doesn't stand out.
Power. Did Brendan want? Power.
Don't ask him to just be stronger there. Buy a stronger player.
So the problem I've got with that is that I think that Kuhn takes the easy way out far too much. He comes inside and he'll just pop the ball to somebody and he's no looking to move beyond. Every time Yang played the ball, he's making a wee move from himself, making himself available again. He's working wee triangles and 1-2s with Alistair Johnson, but Kuhn's not doing that. He's taking the easy way out every time. And see if Kuhn was taking the guy on, losing it, taking the guy on, losing it, keep trying. Eventually, you're like, that guy's got it. And see that when he took the ball off, when the Motherwell defender just took the ball off him? That's because Kuhn showed far too much of the ball. Kuhn was basically saying, take the ball off me here because I don't want to stop. I don't want to shield it. I don't want to bring other players into play. I just want to keep running until you take the ball off me or run out of space. It was just like, there was no imagination, nothing where, what can I dig my team out here? It was just like, oh, the ball's been taken off me. Oh, that's a shame. He was bigger than me anyway. It was kind of like an excuse. And I saw a lot of that for Kuhn. And I think to myself, and I know probably repeating a slaughtered Kuhn in a recent podcast, might have even been last week, but we need people here and now. We need people to understand that we're in a fight 45 minutes by 45 minutes, and you can't. And what that means is we can't afford for you to come on and have a bad half. Same as Palmer, we can't afford it.
No.
We literally players having bad halves of football are literally costing us games. You're not here looking about going, I've got eight great teammates here, and if I have a bad half, they'll all bail me out. That's not going to win us this league.
No, and the problem with it is now that Yang's in, probably he'll start. The next time Yang has a bad half, Kuhn's going to be the guy that's called upon. Mm. So we're stuck in this cycle of trying to figure out, right, you play until you're not good, and then we'll just switch it about. And it's the same on the other side as well. And that's where Brendan Rodgers has got the problem. It's not a problem of blend right now, or like when we had like Maeda and Abada don't really work because there's no creativity. We're looking at all the wingers and going, they all have massive flaws and I don't know which two to pick. But saying that, Yang comes on, makes a difference. Palmer comes on, gets a goal. Is that going to spur them on in late February? Hopefully, but we can't keep doing this. But unfortunately, we're going to have to.
There was a clip doing the rounds of Ange giving a team talk before the cup final.
Yeah.
And he sort of said to the players, you're all winners, you're all champions, that's why you're here. And I watched it and I immediately thought to myself, one, great team talk. Two, I'm sure Brendan Rodgers has dished out team talks like that in his time, and he's pretty good motivator. All the players were singing these plays his last time around. But can he sit at that dressing room in a crucial game and go, you're all champions, you're all winners? Because really what he's looking at is Matt O'Reilly, McGregor, Greg Taylor, Joe Hart. Like, he's no got a team of winners that Ange managed to pick from. And so he needs to sort of find a way to create it. And I think that's the message that will be getting. You have to sort of simultaneously G the players up and let them know what's at stake whilst also not putting pressure on them. And I think that's what a lot of Brendan's post-match stuff's about. That's why he said, even if we drew today and it was 4 points, I don't think we're at the league, because he's got to say that.
Yeah.
Because we might drop points along the way. And if every game's a must-win, every game's a crucial, you're going to feed into that anxiety. So it's a difficult job he's got. He's got to G these players up, make them understand what's at stake, give them a boot in the backside and get them fighting, but also don't get too nervous, don't be too anxious about it.
It's a tightrope that, it's a tightrope that, because just plain dick advocate, devil's advocate on the other side of that, it's not really something fans want to hear about how we could go 4 points behind, but that's nothing, we'll be fine. Yeah. Because the example he used was, I've been 5 points behind in a title race.
Yeah, I did wonder why he brought that up.
I've been 5 points ahead in a title race with 3 or 4 games to go, and then he just sort of dot, 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 tailed off the sentence. Is that the one you lost? Well, Liverpool, right, okay.
Thanks, Gerrard.
So, I we don't
really...
By the
way, that was me referencing Steven Gerrard slipping up there, costing Brendan the title.
So, people don't necessarily... I certainly don't want to hear about how 4 points is nothing when we were 8 points ahead a few weeks ago, you know what I mean? So, 8 points, it's fine, we're doing well. 5 points, we're doing well. Neck and neck, we're ahead in goal difference, we're fine.
It's like the water's rising, 4 points of us, man.
Yes, exactly. So, but I do understand what he's getting at,
yeah. Yeah, he's trying to build a mentality within the squad, and I get it's difficult because it's always levelled at him. Look, you've inherited a treble winning team. Aye, that's fine, but there was 9 players brought in the summer and 2 in January. Now, not all of them are there, but you can't then bring in 8, 9 players and then all of a sudden they're treble winning players as well.
Exactly.
Because a lot of these guys have been playing a lot and they haven't been through it. They haven't been through the course with Celtic and they don't know what it takes. And right now we're calling upon all of these guys to try and make a difference and it's not working. So again, we go back to the tried and tested, but the tried and tested's been injured so often and we're looking at it, right, Carr Vickers is out. So we're basically right now relying on McGregor and O'Reilly. It's not fair either because then we're looking at them and go, why are they not performing? Because they're doing the job of 3, 4 players.
I think, you know, all I think we need to do this league is, I've said it before, I don't think it's over. No, I don't think this league is over. No,
I thought you were just going to say it's just win all our games.
No, not by a long shot. I don't think it's over. And I just think Brendan Rodgers is a good manager. I think he can do it. And I'm not 100% certain we're going to win the league, but I think if we keep within touching distance of Rangers, I'm sure he can guide us through it. But see if we do, by some miracle now, win this league. Brendan just must kick the door down to that chairman's office and just exasperatedly go, never do that to me again. Never make me do that again. Just sort of reference back, Melly, on the players that we need to be able to rely on in the Champions. One of them is, no doubt, Kyogo. Best since Henrik Larsson. We were all crowing about it not so long ago. Yeah. And since we put that podcast out, he's kind of struggled a little bit to live up to that title, understandably. It's a heavy...
Well, he wasn't named it on the podcast, in fairness. Only something we've come to since we put that out.
You're correct to point that out. But he struggled recently. Adam Eder's come in and I just think he is just the player that we need. It's how many times I feel like I've seasons swung on like last minute goals. I feel like seasons swing on those sorts of things all the time. And I just thought the header bullying the Motherwell defenders, the second goal bullying the Motherwell defenders, holding players off, bringing other players into play. I just thought to myself, he's the exact, if you asked ChatGPT to build you a striker for the game that you needed for that game, it would spit out Adam Eder. He was exactly what we needed.
Oh, definitely. And I think it was calling for it for the first, not the first time, but during that game, I was just looking at Kyogo going, mate, come on.
Yeah.
Because all season I've been trying to say, look, the players aren't creating anything for him, but he just looked like he was half pressing, and he just, not that he wasn't arsed, he was just not right quite up for it, or he wasn't going to try and make his own luck. Whereas Adam Eder comes on and makes his own luck. Mm. A wee nudge to that defender, up for that header. He gets in front of the other defender for the second goal and just gets ahead of him. He was making things happen himself by getting in there, making himself a presence. Kyogo can do that in other ways. Celtic haven't quite been finding him, but you have to be in there and you have to be making your own luck. And Adam Eder did that. I didn't think Kyogo did do that. And when he went down with that injury, I thought, he's just kind of looking for an excuse here. But I think it just wasn't a game for him. But we've seen too much of that this season. I think with Adam Eder on there, his presence there, it meant when Greg Taylor and Alistair Johnston got the ball, they had an option in there. They put the balls in and they didn't really need to think about it. It was, he can get ahead of these guys, and Kyogo wasn't doing that. Kyogo will be fine, I'm sure. He'll be back. He'll score great goals and we'll all be that. What were you worried about? Nothing. But Adam Eder made a difference, and it's what Brendan Rodgers talked about. You mentioned it already. That power, he brought a bit of power to the team. Carter Vickers comes on and Motherwell barely get a sniff after that. Alistair Johnston and Greg Taylor offer something different, but the wide players, the wing-backs even, created two of the goals. Whereas last week with Joey Ralston and Burnaby, that's not going to happen. And I think Iwata in there gave us that power, that spine throughout the team of Carter Vickers, Iwata, Eder, O'Reilly, McGregor, got Celtic through that game. And when you've got your fullbacks coming in and actually putting balls in and then one winger doing okay, it made a massive difference for Celtic. So we just need to keep this bit of physicality, this bit of strength about us. And for me, Iwata stays in the team for the next few games, and so does Eder, because I think it just made us so much better.
Norwich reject, Stephen.
Yeah, I've been a bit puzzled by the reception, or rather the perception of Adam Eder. There seems to be a bit of a belief, and I'm only kind of going on comments we get, see in Discord and we see online and stuff like that. There's a perception where people seem to believe he's some sort of like big plan B target man, a big lump you just stick up front and hope for the best. But I think honestly, could it be further from the truth? Watching Adam Eder, I think he looks like an excellent player. I don't want to get carried away, but he's contributed massively already to it.
Decent really, at everything, yeah. But not outstanding at
yeah,
anything.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. I think he's contributed to massive doubles in games that could, had that not happened, of course this is not how it works, you don't just subtract goals and therefore the points, but if he hadn't have popped up with the goals, the penalties, Lord knows we struggled to score penalties up until Adam Eder came in, the two penalties at Hibs and then the two against Motherwell as well, where we would be, I've absolutely no idea. We'd be talking about how 8 points is nothing and we're going to come back from that. But I honestly think he's been an excellent player, and it's like, I think the goal itself, Greg Taylor crossing in for Adam Eder for that big bullet header, that was Tosh McKinley, Pierre Van Hooydonk.
Oh, yes.
How am I doing, boss? from those two, I think that was a cracking goal. But he seems to be fairly reminiscent of Pierre Van Hooydonk, actually. Of course, that was a long time ago. So it was, what, 30 years ago he signed for Celtic. So people will be aware of who he is.
Half our audience
will have never seen him, but we'll be aware of who he is. But I remember when Pierre Van Hooydonk came to the club, I was a kid, obviously, but it was in the days where you don't really have much to go on. There's certainly no Y Scout, there's no Transfermarkt, there's no YouTube compilations.
No X, Stephen?
Yeah, no X. Some great stuff on there, by the way. But you didn't have any YouTube compilations. I didn't know what Pierre Van Hooydonk even looked like until he was actually playing for Celtic. But I remember when he came in, the perception of him was that he was just a big guy, just chuck crosses in, he'll bullet headers in. He was good at that as well. So he was good in there. but it wasn't his main thing.
His goal was a peach.
Yeah, he was actually a very, very good footballer. And I think Adam Ida is not necessarily as good a player, but he's quite reminiscent of that in that...
I think I might have said that the first podcast we discussed him, actually.
It looks like he's going to be this just like big target man. I think there's maybe an element that if you're over 5'11" and you come from the English Championship, it means you're just a big blunt instrument, just chuck him in there, lob crosses him. But to me, he looks so much more than that. He looks like he's got a good touch. Some of his first time layoffs for players that bring them into the game have been excellent. There was one at home where he laid it off for Cal McGregor, just the first time flicking Cal McGregor bust through. He's been doing that. He set up O'Reilly's goal.
Brilliant moment in the Motherwell game. He brought it down the chest, just knocked it down.
I think he just looks like an all-round very good striker. Whether he'll be very prolific at Celtic, I don't know. Whether he's going to be up here beyond the season's end, hopefully, but it's probably doubtful at this stage.
I like him, Melly. I mean, I'm not blowing one trumpet here, but I was one of the few voices that as soon as we were linked with him, I says, I'm really encouraged by this signing because I think he offered Celtic something different. He's different in terms of what we've got in the league. He's got that, I keep banging on about this, but that Premier League build, you know, that he looks like an athlete, a proper athlete compared to a lot of the players that we've got. And that's not a prerequisite. I mean, Kyogo is the opposite of that and he's a lethal striker. So you don't need that, but it's good to have that option.
Yeah, I think it's just a shame he came in the controversy that he did, but it's not his fault at all. It's not even Adam Ida the signing, but it's the signing of Adam Ida. And
he caught strays. He caught strays, didn't he? That were intended for the board, really.
And I'll give Kyogo the fact that Celtic played much better in the second half, but I also have to caveat that with Adam Ida made Celtic play better in the second half. I think he will score goals for Celtic. I don't think he's ever going to be a 25-30 goal a season striker, but I think what he will do is make Celtic score more goals. And look, he came on, he scored a goal, he had another chance very similar from a cross that he didn't quite get the connection with. He had that turn on the edge of the box that the Motherwell player, Willie Colum, had to go and review it, and he gets the other goal. But he just seems to occupy defenders in a very different way from Kyogo, that he pins them back and he's a presence in there, which means they don't want to move out from that space, and he can bring other players in, because if he's occupying people in the middle, it means when the ball's out on the right hand side and Johnson and Yang, who just seem to have the run of the play out on the right hand side towards the end, can create things, and there's more space because he's holding players in the middle, and then when they cross the ball, he's taking up a defender and Palmer can come in at the back post.
When I saw Maeda on the end of those chances and I saw Adam Ida laying things off and bringing other players into play, there was part of me that was like, I wonder if Kyogo could play on that left hand side a wee bit, because we're creating a lot of chances coming in. You say no, but we're creating so many chances. That's if you get those three chances on target, those are three goals. And you need a better finisher in there. But I think going forward, I agree with you, Melly. I think we need to stick with Adam Ida. I think while we're trying to figure this out half by half, I think you just have to tick the big Adam Ida box and start him every game and see how much he can contribute.
Doesn't mean he'll finish every game, because some games, like, it'll be a case of we can get something in behind Kyogo's free there. So I think it's going to take that. I don't think it's going to be set in play from now on, because guys like Hatate will come back. But I think with Celtic, that having that extra option of the power that Brendan Rodgers wanted up there is making a massive difference. That header's class, by the way. I can't get away from it. It's just a goal you love to see, doesn't it? Just a lovely ball in from Greg Taylor from that inverted wing back crossing area, and just that
hang
up
time
ahead.
In it. Up early, hang in the air and just bust at home, bust the net with the neck muscles fully, the veins popping at the
neck.
Not even
a celebration, just get me that ball and let's go again.
And let's see, we spoke earlier about the nature of getting late goals and what it can do. I don't think that's, like, it's not just sort of romantic rubbish to talk about late goals galvanising a team, because see if you'd won the exact same scoreline, see if Celtic had won 3-1, but the goals were in the 18th, 46th and the 70th minute. We'd be really good. It'd be a routine win. We'd all go home and say, right, brilliant, another one ticked off. But there's something about getting a very late goal. And Palmer got another one as well, but to all intents and purposes, it was that second.
But we don't like him as much.
It was really the second Adam Ida goal that got it and sort of sent the place wild, right? So there is something about that where, instead of going away from the stadium thinking, all right, that was a good win to get, you're suddenly,
compared to last week, Kilmarnock just absolutely floors you. We've already had the Motherwell game at Celtic Park where we let in a late goal. So it needs to be back to the way that Celtic are feared going in to the last 10 minutes, instead of us absolutely caking our pants. That
the Abada one, who was it against the United under Ange? There was Tony Ralston at Ross County that sent Celtic on to it. So I wouldn't want to go about that in every single game. I wouldn't want to go into it planning to score in the 94th minute or whatever, but there is a lot of confidence.
It shows the fans and it shows the players as well that we're not out of this.
No.
And
celebration showed that at the end.
They're denying it. If you ask them, but the way that this season is playing out, Brendan is right. There's a narrative that Celtic it's just a procession for Rangers to win this title, and we are not out of this, no chance. But I mean, we've stumbled twice since New Year. We could probably stumble one more time, make it three stumbles, and then still resurrect this title, perhaps. But
I'm not so sure now.
I think we could find out a lot this week. I think. Dundee, I'm not looking past Dundee for a single second. I think it'll be a tough game, but Celtic are overwhelming favourites going into a home game like that for at least a half. So we'll find out if they get the result. But with Tynecastle on the horizon, I think we'll learn a lot from that game, because if we play the way they did at Fir Park in the first half at Tynecastle, I think we could be on an absolute hiding. And I know they just got a heavy beating at the weekend, but... There's something about the Celtic versus Hearts at Tynecastle fixture that seems to turn
them on. There's no two ways about it. That's the biggest game of the season so far, probably. Just the way that things have panned out.
The Dundee one for me is the biggest game, because Celtic have struggled at Celtic Park recently and they just need to go out and win.
You think that's a bigger game than the Hearts game?
Yeah, because it's the next one. And
we'll find out, I suppose.
If we draw the Dundee game, then...
We're drawing the Dundee game.
Yeah, but we did only draw McComarnock last week and we did it, so...
Corners turned.
I get your optimism. I've seen it before, but with the dropping points again, if we were to do that before Ibrox and we fell further behind, we'd done this in the season that shall not be named, where it was still, there's still three games against them, so we can claw it back then, and then, there's still two games against
them.
That team,
this is, people throw up the COVID season, and the form correctly has been compared to the COVID season, right? But some of the stuff we were watching in COVID, it was players were out in the pitch trying to figure out themselves. Callum McGregor's coming out after games slaughtering the manager. It's some of the crap that we were watching then. It's nowhere near that.
No, it's
bad.
Not. But the point is,
that was a team that were defeated. Aye. This team don't look defeated.
No,
that's
they don't.
The difference.
But at the same time, you can't go into games. You can't go the be all and end alls. We need to beat them at Ibrox and we need to beat them at Celtic Park, because you can't go into that. I know we've beat them twice already this season, but it's different. We can't just put all our eggs in the basket of we'll beat them twice, because we need to win the games in between that. And quite simply, Celtic haven't been good at doing that this season. That's where we find ourselves where we are. So Dundee this week, need that one. Then it's on your Hearts.
To paraphrase Lieutenant Frank Drebin, this season is a bit like sex.
Okay.
It's a painstaking and arduous task that seems to go on and on forever. And just when you think things are going your way, nothing happens.
That's really troubling. Is that Naked Gun 33 and a third?
It's one of them. I can't remember. Yeah.
Absolute classic. Yeah. Listen, back to more serious matters. Joe Hart retires, announces retirement at the end of the season. Lots of speculation about why he announced it on a weird podcast with an old man, but
and he didn't say Celtic once. I don't think he kept saying this club I'm at.
Did he?
Very strange.
Very odd. It was a weird way to do it, but he has done it, and he said, you know, it ends a lot of speculation. There was people saying, well, what does this mean? We try to convince him to stay, or personally, I think there's probably meetings at Celtic Park where Brendan's going, right, new keeper required, and some bean counter somewhere is going,
well, actually, Joe Hart has still not let us know if he's staying to the end of the season.
Yeah.
So we need to keep that on the table until we know what Joe's doing. And Brendan's like, look, any chance you could help me out here just by saying you're retiring so I can plan for a new keeper?
I think that's what I'm going to head my bets on. That's a speculation. But Joe Hart is retiring. We need to give him a good send off.
Yes.
We need to send him off the right way, as Greg Taylor said on Instagram. I think Joe Hart was an inspired piece of business for Celtic.
Yeah, I've loved him. I have said this season that I think he's going to cost Celtic. That hasn't happened yet since January. So
weird way to show your love. I love you, but you're going to cost us. No, well, get rid of him. I need a new. But all before Christmas, Stephen, what was Melly's war cry? Need a new keeper. Need a new keeper. Unbelievable. Need a new keeper.
Not just before
now
Christmas.
Look at, you.
At the start of this season, we needed a new keeper. I still believe that. But this is where we are right now. And Joe Hart's performances recently have kept Celtic in the game.
Kept us in the title race.
Yep, yeah. Definitely. And I think, always say it, very rarely in football do you get to ride off into sunset. But if MD deserves another title, We're looking about that dressing room. All those players need to do is get that guy a medal. He deserves to go out in that, because what he brought to Celtic, you can't buy. That leadership, that being there, done it. He was the perfect keeper for Celtic at that time. Probably should have moved beyond him now, but that's not his fault. He's done his bit. He's got Celtic in there. Desperate for Celtic to win the league for him, because I think he's been a really good signing while not being the best goalkeeper, if that makes any sense.
I think Melly's been incredibly harsh to Joe Hart, Stephen. I think Joe Hart, since the turn of the year, has been absolutely fantastic. And I think we would have been hard-pushed to sign any keeper that would have done a better job that Joe Hart's done these last couple of months.
Well, my one fear is that this all turns into a careful what you wish for thing. Now, there's nothing we can do about Joe Hart retiring, but from what we've seen in recent seasons from Celtic, and obviously I don't want to drag us back into chat about transfer windows, but from what we've seen, Celtic are very capable of going out and making an absolute mess of this. Yeah. And we could be sitting here next season thinking we didn't know what we had until it's gone. Because if you think Celtic are going to go out and sign a 25-year-old international goalkeeper who's great with his feet and who's got incredible shot stopping.
Just say Barkas, mate.
Yeah, Barkas. Yeah, if you think you're going to get that right first time, you're more optimistic. I've got some magic beans to sell you.
I've wondered this for a while. Like, occasionally, very, very, very occasionally, Celtic will go out and just get the right guy, a bit of experience, a bit of an older head, and you think to yourself, we did it with Aaron Moy as well.
Those type
of guys are absolutely valuable in a dressing room. Like, see if we had more guys like that. Not guys at the top of the game, technically, physically or whatever, but guys who are serviceable, guys that are good players, but they've got that professionalism, they've got that sort of maturity, older head.
Calm down on the pitch.
We would not be in this position.
Bring Aaron Moy on and he keeps the ball. Aye. And that got Celtic through a lot last season.
We would not be in this position right now if we had more Joe Harts in the dressing room.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. It's been really interesting to see how the news has been received and how big a story it's been since Joe Hart has announced his retirement, because I was watching all the various reactions to it and all the English-based podcasts, football podcasts have been reacting to it. And it kind of reminded me of just how big a deal Joe Hart was. Joe Hart, he's a big deal in football, and you know, I'm not asking anyone to get all starstruck about it and all that, but it was interesting seeing all these various clubs responding to the news that Joe Hart has announced his retirement. They were talking about like 75 England caps. He's played multiple tournaments. He's won the league at Man City. He's been there. I think Vincent Kompany mentioned him as one of the biggest influences in that title-winning team at Man City. And it was really interesting to see that Joe Hart was such an influential figure, not just at Celtic, just in broader football terms. And I know we've had those types of signings before where you think of, like, I don't know, Freddie Ljungberg and Carlton Cole, guys who were reasonably big names, came to Celtic and did absolutely nothing. That's not the case with Joe Hart. We get three seasons out of him, three very successful so far seasons. And, well, two very successful. I'll tidy that up. Two very successful seasons and an ongoing season. But the fact remains that he has been here a lot longer than we would have thought. It's maybe people would see it as a short-term signing, but who stays at Celtic for 3 years these days?
Exactly.
It's actually very rare. And especially a guy who like that, who probably could have, if he so desired, could have gone and seen out his final couple of years in football in, let's say, Saudi Arabia. He's got plenty of pals going to these places, like Saudi Arabia or whatever.
I'm actually quite surprised he retired and never had an MLS for a couple of years or whatever.
He could easily have done it. He could easily have gone and sat on the bench as one of the token English third-choice keepers for a big club on probably three times the money he was getting at Celtic. But he didn't want to do that. He came to Celtic for the right reasons that we were led to believe. There were footballing reasons. He could have gone and get paid much more elsewhere, but he wanted to play, he wanted to contribute, and he wanted to, if not be the captain, he wanted to lead a team, which is what he's effectively done here. So,
is there another Joe Hart out there, somebody that's kicking about, maybe sort of backup keeper somewhere for Spurs or whatever towards the end of his career, that sort of got a few England caps that we could pick up?
Can't think. Is Rob Green still going?
No, I was angling at Fraser Foster.
Tim Flowers. I think he's been a very good signing for Celtic overall. I think that it's true that he probably could and should have been replaced at some point now, because Celtic have done it again in that we've played a guy right up, there was no phasing out, we've played him right up to the end of his career, and that's him, he's done, he's hung up the boots / gloves on this occasion. But I think overall he's been a big success, and I don't think it's too proper football man of me to say that, like, there are certain intangibles that come with footballers, and it's not all just about like shot stopping stats and all that. If you are a positive influence on the club, and again, I want to marry that to being a success on the pitch as well. Yeah. It's all very well being a good presence around the dressing room if you're not actually contributing on the pitch. Joe Hart has managed to do both. It hasn't been perfect. It's been rocky at times, and he has gotten older quite rapidly in the last season or so. But overall, I'm very grateful to Joe Hart for coming. I think it was a masterstroke by Ange. Whether it was just a matter of luck and circumstance, he was completely frozen out of Spurs. We've taken a chance on this guy. Let's see if we can rebuild this guy's career for a couple of seasons. Doesn't really matter, because I think overall it's been a big success.
I think that I get what we're doing here. We're going, he's been a good success, but he's had rocky moments. And I just think that he's not really had that many rocky moments to me, more than any other sort of good goalkeeper we've had.
That's what I mean. We'll see in the future what we were up against.
I was having a think about this, and I was like, he's definitely in the top three keepers I've had at Celtic. It's probably for me Boric, Hart and Foster. Yeah. And Foster's probably one, and then
Gordon in there as well.
He would have made four. If I did top four, Gordon would have did top four, but I did top three purposely to keep Craig Gordon out of it. But for me, he features in my top three, and I've loved having him at the club. And I think what you're saying is right, Mel. I think that's an inspiration for the rest of the squad. Let's send this guy out on a high, and he'll want it as well. Is he featuring your top three?
Aye, definitely does. I think he's just perfect for Celtic at the perfect time. Mm-hmm. But as usual with Celtic, we rinse him dry, the poor guy.
On the personality thing as well, I have to hold my hands up and say I got it completely wrong about Joe Hart. When he was in England, it's not a guy I thought about a lot, but I kind of had this perception in my head he was just one of these quite tedious banter lad guys.
Decent.
The decent pattern and all that. One of these sort of banter lad English footballers that you wouldn't want to be, you wouldn't want to spend 5 minutes in the company of. But I was completely wrong about that. Whether it's just a case where he's really matured with age and really kind of grown into his role as a leader of a dressing room. But again, couldn't be further from the truth. Anyone who speaks about Joe Hart is glowing about how positive a guy he is, and how respectful and how encouraging he is as a player. So I have to hold my hands up. When I heard Celtic were signing Joe Hart, I thought, no, if one of these, as I say, like patter lads. but it's not the case at all. I think he's been an incredibly positive influence over the club, the fans and his teammates and his managers as well. So basically all round a very good guy and very positive signing and a successful player at Celtic.
patreon.com/20minutetims is where you can support us on Patreon. Thank you so much for watching, and we'll be back next week.
Small details are big surfaces, tight corners are odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.